Hi, welcome to Clark Capital's quarterly economic and market review and outlook. I'm Patty Quinn McCauley, head of marketing. Each quarter, I'm joined by two senior leaders on our client portfolio management team, Glenn Dorsey and Pete Eisenrich. They'll be walking us through our five economic gauges and their implications for the markets. So let's get started. Glenn, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Patty. Before we start our review of the economic gauges, I want to touch on the situation in the banking sector. There have been a couple of large bank failures. We saw some deposits coming out of these banks. They weren't able to raise the assets to give the depositors back their money. The FDIC stepped in and insured deposits greater than $250,000 for a few financial institutions. And some facilities were set up to provide liquidity to the banking system. Important to distinguish this between the financial crisis, which was really a lot of loans defaulting, is a very, very different situation. Now, we're not going to definitively declare that this is over, but the banks have seem to have adequate liquidity right now that the worst of this is probably behind us. So, Pete, why don't you kick us off with our review of the economic gauges?
Sure. Thank you, Glenn. Yeah, before I get into the gauges, let me make sure I kind of set everybody on what we're doing when we're looking at these gauges. Just as a reminder, 12 o'clock is neutral when we look at these gauges. Anything to the right is positive in our outlook, and anything to the left is negative. And you'll see we didn't make a lot of changes to the gauges this time around. We only adjusted one gauge. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. But most of our gauges are kind of hovering around that neutral to slightly positive to slightly negative zone. And Glenn and I will explain why we're positioned the way we're positioned as we move into the second quarter of 2023. I'll kick it off with the economy gauge. The economy gauge we keep in the neutral position. One of the things that didn't get a lot of news as we kind of entered 2023 was actually the pretty good second half we had in economic activity of 2022. We all know and we heard a lot about the two negative quarters that kicked off 2022. Not enough to kick us into a recession. Again, a recession was never declared. We did have two negative quarters of GDP. But when we look at the third and fourth quarter, the growth was at 3.2% on an annualized pace in the third quarter and 2.6% in the fourth quarter. When we look at the annualized growth there, we would argue that's actually above trend economic growth. That's above what we expect in the long run when we look at economic activity. So really good end to 2022 from an economic perspective. And our opinion was that momentum would continue as we moved into 2023. And I think we've seen that. I think the evidence has proved that out. When we look at the job market, for example, we've added over 800,000 jobs to the economy in January and February. The unemployment rate dropped to 3.4% in January. That was the best reading since 1969. Yes, it did tick a little bit higher in February. It got to 3.6%, but still at multi-decade lows when we're looking at that unemployment rate. And when we think of what is the key driver of the U.S. economy, it really is the consumer. So we pay a lot of attention to the job market, consumer spending, wages, consumer confidence, and that has really held up through most of 2022 and into 2023. And our expectation is it's about a 50-50 on whether we would enter a recession later this year. But if we do get into a recession, we do think it would be more mild. And that is primarily driven by the strength we are seeing in the consumer. We are seeing some areas that are showing a little bit of weakness. Manufacturing, for example, has been in contraction territory for the last 5 months now. We know housing has been slowing down, but actually we had a nice pickup in housing market activity in February. So overall, we decided that the neutral position was the right spot for the economy gauge. Glenn, any other comments on the economy?
Yeah, I think the along with the economy starting to slow, we're starting to see inflation really move down. And that's quite important. We saw the CPI top out last summer, a little better than 9%. That's drifted down to about 6% level. And if you look at pretty much any inflation measure, we are seeing improvement on the price side as the supply chain really starts to normalize. And now that kind of leads into the next gauge, which is the monetary policy gauge. The fact that inflation is moving down has enabled the Fed to kind of ease off of the brake pedal a little bit. So we've moved the monetary policy gauge one notch more positive. It's still in the slow backward position, but it did improve by one notch. And the reason is pretty straightforward. We've seen the Federal Reserve take the Fed funds rate from 0% at the beginning of last year up to 4.25% by the end of last year. And they did another two increases of 25 basis points each so far this year. So the bottom end of the Fed funds rate target is 4.75%. But importantly, that pace of increases has slowed. Right now, it's about a coin toss whether we get another 25 basis point increase in May. But interestingly, if you look at the Fed funds futures market, the market's suggesting that we have three rate cuts starting in with the September meeting. So there's clearly been a change in direction on the Fed. We've seen the Fed's balance sheet as a result of the banking situation increase by over $400 billion. That's a lot of liquidity. So we're not ready to move that gauge to neutral yet, but we did move it one notch closer in that direction. Pete, anything to add to that?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is I think we've gone through that hard period on the Fed rate hike cycle, right? I mean, that's what we were all dealing with in 2022. I mean, 425 basis points, that's a massive and aggressive rate hike cycle. So we do think we're in the late innings. You know, we could be the ninth inning. We'll have to see what happens in May. I think some of the banking issues that can kind of lead the Fed to a little bit more pause here when they're looking at rate hikes, wanting to make sure there's the good financial stability that they want to look at. And then as Glenn brought up with inflation has continued to improve. So I think it gives the Fed quite a bit of cover if they do want to pause at that May meeting to determine, do they want to raise rates any further or do they want to keep kind of on this hold pattern as we move forward? Again, they haven't voiced the idea of a rate cut. I know the market is pricing that in, but that's something we'll have to watch as that develops as we go through 2023 to see kind of what becomes right? Does the market kind of come to where the Fed is more with the no rate cuts, or does the Fed actually look at potentially cutting some rates as we get later into the year? Our third gauge is valuations, another gauge we did not change, and another gauge that's in the neutral position as we move into the second quarter. And here we're really primarily looking at stock market valuations. What's happened in the first quarter? We actually had stock prices go up. It was kind of large cap tech that was dominating this move up higher in the markets, but generally stocks went up during the first quarter, and we did have some of those earning revisions come down. We had this at a positive gauge a couple of quarters ago, but we really thought where positioning was, where earnings were coming in, where stock prices were, the neutral was the better position to be in for this gauge. I always kind of tell people, remember that we're an active manager, so having a fairly valued stock market, which is where we think we're at right now, that's a good position for us, right? We're very comfortable in dealing in a fairly valued stock market. We're keeping a close eye on those earning expectations. It does look like they've started to slow on those revisions down, but that is something we're going to kind of critically look at as we're moving through 2023. Is it a 10% earnings growth year? Is it more mid-single digit, or does it kind of flatten out? We'll have to see how those earning estimates develop, and that's something that obviously we care about at Clark Capital since we care what we pay for stock. So that is something we're looking at with the valuation, but at this point, we would still say it's probably more of a fairly valued stock market when we look at the broad PE ratio of the S&P 500. Glenn, any comments on the valuation side?
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, the forward priced earnings multiple on the S&P 500 when you look at operating earnings is about 18. And that's pretty much in line with long-term multiples for the market. So that's why we have this in a neutral position. But there are pockets of the market that are a lot cheaper. If you look at mid-cap and small-cap stocks, those PEs are around 13 and a half times earnings, so considerably cheaper. If you look at international stocks, if you look at the multiple on the All-Country World Index XUS, those multiples are about 12 times earnings. So international stocks are a fair amount cheaper than the U.S. And looking at the bond side of the equation, if you look at where interest rates are for investment-grade bonds, they're at levels that we really haven't seen since the financial crisis, and that's pretty attractive on the bond side. Turning to the next gauge, investor sentiment, this is a contrary indicator, meaning when there's a lot of fear out there and investors are pessimistic, that's actually a positive for us. So what we see right now is that fear levels are still elevated. Now, if you look at the volatility in the market, the CBOE Volatility Index, or the VIX, has come down quite a bit. We were up around 30. That's drifted down to around 18, 19 now, which suggests that some fear has abated. But if you look at the American Association of Individual Investors, and they do a survey every week, and they ask non-professional investors the very simple question, do you think the stock market is going to go up or down over the next 6 months. And what we're seeing is still about 46% of the people surveyed think the market is going down. And that compares to about 22% that think it's going up. So we're still seeing a lot of fear and skepticism amongst individual investors. And that to us, again, that's a positive, and that's why we have this gauge still one notch in the slow forward position. Pete, anything to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I always think this gauge is a little bit better at the extremes too, right? So when there's extreme bearishness, you know, that can often be the sign that we're getting close to a shorter term bottom. Same with extreme bullishness. You know, we might be closer to a shorter term top in the market. So yeah, right now, as Glenn said, more in that middle ground. Again, we would still lean it as a slight positive because there is clearly still a little bit more bearish and negative sentiment out there in the marketplace right now. But a gauge that's very sensitive, one we keep a close eye on, can move pretty dramatically from week to week or really day to day, depending on what we're looking at. But this is one that I think kind of appropriate where we're sitting at with a slight positive on the investor sentiment reading. That brings us to our final gauge, which is interest rates. This is another one we did not change. It is in the slight negative, slow backward position. And really, we're acknowledging a couple of things when we think of where interest rates are right now. One, we have an inverted yield curve, right? That's been something that's been discussed for a lot of 2022, the kind of area of the yield curve that we look at to determine if there's an inversion or not, the three-month T-bill yield and the 10-year U.S. Treasury note, that became inverted in the fourth quarter of last year, and that continues to be inverted today. And that really means those shorter-term rates are higher than those longer-term rates. We've also seen play out what we thought as we came into the year, that we thought those longer-term rates would be moving lower as we move through 2023. And I know we're just a quarter into the year, but that has clearly happened as well. A lot of volatility along the way, right? We know that. We know rates moved up pretty dramatically in February after coming down in January, but you know they've come back down once again in March when we look at where that 10-year Treasury yield is. It hit a high of 4.25% in October of last year, and now we're kind of in the 3.5%, I know a little bit more, lower than the 3.5% level today. The other part about that interest rate gauge is rates are higher than where we were a year ago, right? We know that was a big driver of the market activity in 2022. So we do want to acknowledge that rates are clearly higher than when we were and kind of what we dealt post-pandemic. You'd almost go back to the credit crisis. This has been an adjustment higher in interest rates. But when we step back, rates are kind of at levels that we've been in for many times of our history, right? Having a 3.5% 10-year Treasury yield is something the market has dealt with during many different periods through our history. So we think slight backward is the appropriate place to be for the interest rate gauge, but you know we didn't think a change was called for as we moved into the second quarter. Glenn, any comments on the interest rate side?
Yeah, so obviously the inverted yield curve is a concern for a couple of reasons. One, historically stocks don't do as well when the yield curve is inverted. The second part of that is it's a signal that the economy is likely to slow. Now, the flip side of that is as the economy is slowing, we're seeing inflation improve quite a bit. And that's primarily why long-term rates have moved down. Pete, as you mentioned, the 10-year Treasury hit 4.25% back in October. Now we're down below 3.5%. That's a positive for stock valuations. So that's really important to consider in the equation as well. Putting this all together, I think it's important to look at this year as sort of the opposite of what we saw last year. Right? We started with the Fed funds rate at 0% in early 2022, and we saw 425 basis points of rate increases last year, and now we've seen another 0.5% as well. Additionally, we saw inflation go from low levels to above 9%. This year is the opposite. We're seeing the Fed start to ease off of the brake pedal and will eventually go to a pause and then cuts probably down the road at some point. And inflation's moderated quite a bit. So that's a really important distinction. In the stock market, we're seeing the same thing. We saw last year a series of lower highs and lower lows. And so far this year, we're starting to see higher lows and higher highs. And the lows that we saw in the stock market back on October 12th have held. And in fact, the S&P 500 at this point is up about 15% from those levels. So it looks to us like conditions are improving and we're not facing the same headwinds that we faced last year. Patty, I'll turn it back to you.
Thanks, Glenn. Glenn and Pete, lots of helpful information in there. Thank you so much for updating us. and for being with us today. And thank you for watching. Our client portfolio managers are here to help you help your clients remain on course. If you have any questions or you'd like to continue the conversation, please reach out to your regional investment consultant or your client portfolio management team. And be sure to check out our blog for our latest commentary and video updates. That's the Navigator Insights blog at blog.ccmg.com. Again, blog.ccmg.com. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss an update. Thanks again for watching and take care.